From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Lots to get to, and we will, but with exactly 2 weeks until the midterm elections, we start this hour with a look at governor's races. Nearly a dozen sitting governors might be vacating those seats.
And keep in mind, not since 1984 have more than six sitting governors lost in any one election. So we're going to look at several of those races now. Joining us is Megan Verlee, reporter for Colorado Public Radio. She's with us from Centennial, Colorado. John Dankosky is news director at WNPR in Hartford, Connecticut. He also hosts the show Where We Live. And Frank Morris, national correspondent and senior editor at KCUR in Kansas City, is with us now as well. And Frank, let's start with you. And we should be clear, by the way, you're on the Missouri side of the border, but we're talking about
that's correct, Jeremy.
In Kansas. And Republican Governor Sam Brownback is facing a tough challenge in deep red Kansas from Democrat Paul Davis, a longtime state representative. And it sounds like this is really about Brownback's economic policies.
Oh, yeah, that's it. It's a referendum on this policy. He cut taxes. The governor led a tax cut, a massive income tax cut. He eliminated taxes for almost 200,000 firms and owned by individuals. These would be like law firms to well drilling outfits, and cut taxes for everyone else, the most for the highest wage earners, about 1.5%, and then about 0.5% for low wage earners. That was supposed to make America the best place in the country to run a small business, famously a real-life experiment, a red state model, but it hasn't worked out as planned.
And at a recent debate, Davis said that the governor's economic experiment, he called it, is not working.
What he's going to do is he's going to cut schools more. He's going to take more money out of our proven job-creating program, our transportation plan. That is not how we are going to continue to grow our state. I have a common sense plan that I believe Democrats and Republicans can support to get us out of this mess, and that's where we need to head.
And Brownback, who, by the way, took office in 2011, defended his record at that debate. Let's listen.
Yes, we have cut taxes, and we've cut them so we could get growth happening, and the growth is happening. We are growing three times faster private sector jobs on the Kansas side of Kansas City as on the Missouri side because the taxes are lower and people can grow more here, and that's what we're seeing.
And is anyone listening to that message, Frank?
Well, yeah, everyone's listening, but they're also living it. And, you know, when the governor talks about those job growth numbers, Kansas, Missouri, he's talking about a slice of the border, not the entire border. And Kansas has very low unemployment, but the job growth has been really sluggish compared to other Midwestern and High Plains states. So this big jump hasn't really happened. In the meantime, the state has been saddled with huge budget shortfalls, hundreds of millions of dollars, and unlike most states, it hasn't been able to restore the cuts from the recession to education and slash the highway program, as Representative Davis said. So regardless of who's elected, the legislature is going to have to make big cuts next year, like 5 or 10% on top of the cuts that have already been made.
And this race, by the way, is one of the reasons why the Senate race in Kansas is in play.
Well, that's right. I mean, because you have a Republican in trouble there's this little sort of groundswell or a revolt against conservative Republicans in Kansas. I mean, Kansas has long time had a three-party system with a sharp division for a couple of decades between the conservatives and moderates in the GOP. And so you have, you know, that whole wing of the party is kind of under assault this year after winning huge gains in the last couple of elections.
Okay, well, there you have that. Now we want to go to Connecticut. John Dankosky, news director at WNPR in Hartford, who also hosts the show Where We Live, which is just terrific. It's your turn, John. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. And in Connecticut, you've got the Republican former private equity manager Tom Foley running neck and neck against first-term Democrat Danielle Malloy, Connecticut's first Democratic governor since 1986. Now, this is a rematch. The New York Times is calling it the thriller in Manila. Explain.
Well, I don't know if it's such a thriller. I mean, for us, it's been just about the nastiest campaign that we've seen in a very long time. This Wesleyan Media Project, they take a look at negative ads all around the country. They've said this right now is the most negative campaign. And it's not just happening in the ads, Robin. It's happening every single time these two face off in the debates. They're sniping back and forth at each other. There's an awful lot of personal attacks, but there's also a lot going back and forth about policy. Tom Foley thinks, I want to run this state a little bit more like a business, and that's how he's attacking Dan Malloy.
Yeah, well, and the rematch aspect is that in 2010, Malloy just squeaked past Foley by less than half a point. Now Malloy was governor during the Newtown school shooting, the passage of gun laws after that. Remind us, how big a factor is that now?
It has been a big factor in this campaign. Of course, Dan Malloy's campaign has had to really tiptoe around this issue because he wants to show the leadership that indeed many people in the state saw him perform with during Newtown. But he doesn't want to talk about it, doesn't want to politicize it. The fact of the matter is, right after Newtown, he helped to push through some gun legislation, banning large-capacity gun magazines, mandating universal background checks, over objections of Connecticut's gun industry, including some gun lobbyists that are based right in Newtown. Tom Foley has gotten support from the gun lobby. The one thing I'll say quickly, Robin, is there is a third candidate in this race, Joe Visconti, who's very outspoken about guns. He's a former Tea Party activist. He's a Republican. He's the one talking an awful lot about guns in this. And right now, he's getting about 9% in polling.
He could be the spoiler. Well, you mentioned the ads. Here is a snippet of one from the gun industry group, the National Shooting Sports Foundation, which we remember is, as you say, just 3 miles from the Sandy Hook School in Newtown.
Governor Daniel Malloy led the effort to impose strict gun laws on Connecticut citizens behind closed doors. Then Governor Daniel Malloy attacked one of his state's historic industries on national television.
What this is about is the ability of the gun industry to sell as many guns to as many people as possible.
And, of course, the gun industry is denying that. But is it going to turn on guns or is it going to turn on the economy? Malloy points to, you know, falling unemployment.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan Malloy is saying we're bringing jobs back to Connecticut. It's been a very, very slow recovery over time. Tom Foley is saying the recovery has not been fast enough. Really, Robin, what I think this is going to hinge on, it's how much people like these folks. 51% in the most recent Quinnipiac poll of those asked just don't have a very favorable view of Dan Malloy. He was on my show yesterday saying, hey, people don't have to like me. I'm a porcupine. I understand I'm prickly. You don't have to like me, but I'm getting the job done. We'll see what happens.
John Dankowski, his show is Where We Live, which is in Connecticut. He's with WMPR there. Where do we go now, Jeremy?
We're heading to Colorado and Megan Verlee with Colorado Public Radio. Megan, there you've got a Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper who was elected 4 years ago. A lot has happened in Colorado since then. He's facing the Republican nominee Bob Beaupre, who's a buffalo rancher and a former congressman. But we've had marijuana legalized in Colorado in the last few years. There was, of course, the Aurora Theater shooting. What's the big issue in Colorado this time around?
You know, in the election, I would say a lot of it's coming down to how people feel about Governor Hickenlooper's record, actually, his style of leadership. Certainly, the economy seems to be improving tremendously. We actually just got news today that unemployment is at its lowest since June 2008. But his opponent, Republican Bob Beaupre, says that the improving economic numbers mask a lot of structural weakness. And it is kind of interesting looking at how well Colorado's economy is doing on paper. If people, if voters don't give Hickenlooper a second term, does that actually bolster this idea that underneath the good numbers, with increasing economic disparity in how that good news is being felt, there may be a lot of voters who do not think the economy is strong enough to give the governor another term?
Well, we did hear about all of this at a recent debate, and let's listen here to Bob Beaupre, and here's what he had to say about the issue of regulation.
I wonder if anybody out there really thinks what's been holding us back, getting this economy moving again, is that we haven't been regulated enough. I don't think so. What we have to do first is freeze non-essential regulations. If it's not public safety related, let's stop where we're at, go through and audit everything we have. If it's not pro-job, pro-economic opportunity, let's get rid of it.
And Governor Hickenlooper responded. He said he's already eliminated over 1,500 regulations and that he's working to make regulations effective. He gave an example of a new law that tamps down on methane pollution from fracking. Here he is.
When we went after methane, right, we're the first state in America to regulate methane and fugitive emissions, but we didn't do it by imposing regulations. We sat down with the environmental community and the oil and gas industry, you know, spent the time to agree on definitions and then create a set of regulations that is now a national model.
How are issues of regulation, fracking, especially with the natural gas boom that's going on in this country right now, and the environment playing into this election?
Well, oddly enough, they've become sort of a lose-lose issue for Hickenlooper. On the one side, more conservative voters, I think, just tend to see him as a Democrat in sort of the traditional more regulation model. He definitely, you know, has trumpeted getting strict air regulations, first-in-the-nation air regulations on the oil and gas industry. But on the other side, you have a lot of more liberal voters who are really concerned about the pace of oil and gas development in the state. It's starting to move into heavily suburban areas along the Front Range. And those voters who are traditionally strong Democratic supporters, you're hearing from them that they're frustrated that Hickenlooper hasn't done more and that they are not excited to try and reelect him because they feel he's let them down.
What are the polls saying?
That it is incredibly close.
Yeah.
You know, this has been a neck-and-neck race for a while now, also in our U.S. Senate race. And a lot of this is going to come down to a question of voter enthusiasm. Obviously, in a year like this, with a Democrat in the White House with unfavorable approval ratings, some of that may spill over even here into the state race.
Megan Verlee of Colorado Public Radio, and we were also talking with John Dankosky at WNPR in Hartford and Frank Morris at KCUR in Kansas City, all part of the Here and Now Contributors Network.
Thank you all. I feel like we just traveled the country. And here's some other notes of sitting governors in tight races. Maine's Republican Governor Paul LePage is in a tight race. The Democrat Pat Quinn in Illinois. Alaska's Republican Governor Sean Parnell. And here are some other governors' races worth watching. In Florida, the Republican Rick Scott and former Republican Governor Charlie Crist, now running as a Democrat, are essentially tied in the polls. Their third and final debate is tonight. In Wisconsin, it's a toss-up between the Republican Governor Scott Walker. In his first term, he garnered national attention, of course, for curbing collective bargaining rights. He's running against the Democrat and the businesswoman Mary Burke. In Georgia, you've got the first-term Republican Governor Nathan Deal trying to hold off a challenge from 39-year-old Democrat and State Senator Jason Carter, the grandson of President Jimmy Carter. In Pennsylvania, Democrats see a win as businessman Mark Wolf leads in the polls over the Republican Governor Tom Corbett. But, of course, we will watch all of these races.
And in some of them, like in Georgia, and we just saw this when we were down there the last couple of weeks, there are third-party candidates that really could play a role
Spoilers.
In this election. Spoilers, or some people would say that's their candidate, but
right.
We will keep watching.